Well, good morning. We are in a series called You Are Freed. And if you didn't hear last week's message, please listen to it because I laid a foundation that believers can be in bondage. And it's nothing to be afraid of, but it is something to be aware of. And listen, we need to know how to get out of bondage. And we will get to more and more of that in this series. We will talk about how to get free and stay free indeed. And once again, let me explain something because I really don't want there to be any misunderstanding. If you are a believer, you cannot be demon-possessed. But you most certainly can be demon-oppressed. You can come under demonic influence or control in an area or areas of your life. You need to know that. All right, so this week's message is titled, Beware. Beware. And I will explain to you what I mean by that. In Acts 13, Paul is in Antioch at Pisidia, which is different than Antioch at Syria. Okay? Antioch at Syria is where the great New Testament church was. It was where Paul and Barnabas were sent from. So this is a different Antioch, okay? And Paul preaches a message about Jesus. And he ends the message with a caution. And I want to show you the caution. Acts 13, verses 40 and 41 says, Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets, and that is Habakkuk that he is speaking of, come upon you. Beware lest it come upon you. And then he quotes a verse from Habakkuk 1. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. And now he is referencing that God became a man in Jesus and died on the cross for our sins, that's salvation, and that the Messiah has come. And what he's saying is you are not going to believe this, even though someone were to tell you. Now stay with me, because he then he gives them a reason why they won't believe it. And it's Habakkuk. And what he is telling them is, this is the reason why you won't believe. It is because there is an enemy who is trying to blind you to the truth. And he quotes this scripture, Habakkuk 1, verses 5 and 6. This is the verse Paul quoted. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. Now, before we read verse 6, let me just tell you that he's about to talk about Chaldeans. And hear me, Chaldeans are an Old Testament type of demons. They are the enemies that come against the people of God. So watch the next verse. He talks about Chaldeans, but watch how we can relate this to demonic spirits. Verse 6. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth. Now watch what he says that they are trying to do. To possess dwelling places that are not theirs. there they are. That's what they are trying to do. And once again, we talked about this last week, in the message last week, that possess doesn't always mean ownership. It can mean, and does mean in this case, to gain mastery over. They're trying to gain control over or influence over dwelling places that are not theirs, that don't belong to them. Now, in that day, when Paul quoted this scripture, if they would have gone back and read Habakkuk chapter 1 to see where he said, "Beware lest it come on you," if they would have gone back and read it, well, let me explain to you what the skeptics of the day would have said. The skeptics would have said, "I think Paul is out of his mind." Because listen carefully, there aren't any more Chaldeans. The Chaldeans had been utterly destroyed in 539 BC. So much so that Jeremiah 50 verse 51 tells us that there are none left. The Chaldeans were never again referred to as a nation or even as an ethnicity. Never. After 539 BC, they were destroyed. So I want you to think about this. Paul says, "Beware lest what was spoken in the prophets come on you," and there aren't any more literal Chaldeans. So what would he have been talking about? Well, let me say it to you this way. In the same way, the skeptics of that day would have said that Paul is crazy, that he doesn't know what he is talking about, because there aren't any more Chaldeans. That's crazy. We don't need to beware of them. In the same way, the skeptics today would say something like, "Did you all hear that Tom Anders is preaching a series about demons? He is out of his mind." Because there aren't any more demons. Yes, they are. And you better beware. Because they're trying to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. That's what they're trying to do. You following me? Now, let me show you again that Chaldeans represent demonic spirits. Let me show you some things about Chaldeans, about demons, all right? Three things. Number one, they are thieves. They are thieves. Remember, verse 6 says that they are trying to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. Friends, we need to understand that Satan is the thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But listen, many times when the Bible talks about Satan, it is actually referring to the work of Satan, not Satan himself. Because Satan is not omnipresent. You need to know that. Omni means all. And we know that God is omnipresent, that he is all present, right? I mean, God is omniscient, which means that God is all knowing, all knowledge. And God is omnipotent, which means that he is all powerful. But Satan is not omnipresent. That means that he can only be in one location at a time. Now, when Satan tempted Jesus, by the way, that was a real dude. That was Satan. Because Jesus did merit his personal attention. But I have had people come to me before and say, Pastor Tom, Satan came to me. Well, I don't know if it was Satan himself. But Satan does have an army of demons. And demons do his work. I mean, Jesus said it this way. There was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. And he said, shouldn't this woman be loosed from this whom Satan had bound? Okay, Satan did have her bound, but Satan had her bound through one of his demons, through a spirit. You following me? So it's important to understand that there is an army of demons when the Bible talks about the work of Satan. And again, verse 6 says that they are trying to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are thieves. They're thieves. And you need to know something. If you are going after God, they are coming after you. Some people are uncomfortable with that thought, with me saying that. But what do you want me to tell you? Something that is warm and fuzzy and not true? Or do you want me to tell you the truth? I want you to know the truth so you can beware. You see, so many times we think that Satan is going after the unbelievers. No, he's not. Why would they? Why would the demons go after them? They already have them. You see, they are coming after the believers to keep them defeated so that they don't win the unbelievers to Christ. My friends, that's what they are trying to do. So I'm telling you that Chaldeans represent demons. Okay, but let me just show you that it does, okay? Because this comes from the exhaustive dictionary of Bible names, all right? This is how the exhaustive dictionary of Bible names describes the definition of Chaldeans. It says, Chaldeans, as it were, demons. Demons. Now, the root word means to lay waste or to destroy. And the actual word means wanderers. So they were wanderers. And I will tell you some more about them later, but isn't it amazing that it means wanderers? Because watch what Jesus said about demons. Matthew 12, verse 43 to 45. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it wanders. The Chaldeans are wanderers. Demonic spirits are wandering. And they're trying to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. Continuing on. It wanders through waterless regions looking for a resting place, but it finds none. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. When it comes, now watch these. It's very, very important, the next three things that it says about the house. So listen carefully. When it comes, and by the way, this is Jesus, okay? Jesus is saying this. When it comes, this spirit, it finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings along seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and live there, and the last state of that person is worse than the first. So notice how a demon can come back. Because when it comes back to the house that it left, it finds it swept and put in order. But, hear me, this is the key word. Finds it empty. Okay, how many times do people come to Christ, get saved, they work at getting their act cleaned up, swept, put in order, but they don't fill their house with the Word of God. Listen to me. This is why it is very important for you not to just attend NFBC, but for you to get involved and to volunteer and to go to discipleship class and join a life group. It is important that you get connected, because you need to fill your house with the Word of God. And how many times do we know someone that got saved and they did great for a while? You know, they got saved, they're here every single week, and then, well, they end up going back into bondage. And the bondage that they went back into is actually worse than what they came out of. Because listen to me, we are in a war. It's a very real war. So it is very important. You see, these are wanderers. Okay, Chaldea would be at that time when the Bible writes about them. They were a very small nation. Small nation. But here's the thing that you need to know. They were actually never conquered until they were destroyed. And when God said, when my purpose is finished with them, I will destroy them. Okay? So think about Satan and demonic spirits. And we don't like to think about this, but God will use them for a purpose. I mean, stay with me. God does and will use bad things in our life for good, right? Think about it. God uses the enemy all throughout the Old Testament to teach his children to call out to him. And when his children call out to him, well, he moved. When his children went into bondage, what did they do? Time and time again, they would cry out and repent. God would move, right? Do you see how God used that? And in the same way today, many times we don't think we need God until we're in trouble. And then we call out to him. Okay, so we've established that demons are thieves. And I want to show you a scripture and point something out that Satan is trying to steal. Okay? Daniel 1, verses 1 to 5, it says, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, and some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuch, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the young nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish but good looking." I probably would have been taken. Well, that shouldn't have been that funny. But let's go on. "Gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace." Okay, let me just sum this up. He took the young future leaders. "And whom they might teach." Now watch what they did. "They might teach them in the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies. Now, why? Why would he do that? Think about this. So that he would get them, or they would become in bondage to the lust of the flesh. "And of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king." All right, let me tell you something that the Lord really, really showed me here this week in Scripture, and it just really tore at my heart. Satan, here's what he really desires to steal. And we can really see it today, I believe. Satan is trying to steal the next generation. He's going after our kids and our grandchildren. I mean, that is one of the things Nebuchadnezzar stole when he went into Israel. Do you see that? And how did he want to teach them? In the ways of the Chaldeans. What is the definition of Chaldeans? As it were, demons. He took the future leaders. My friends, I'm very concerned about the next generation. I really am. The problem is that the world and this culture is trying to train them in their language and in their literature. And we need to be training them in the Word of God. We need to teach them God's Word. But notice something else. Notice that we also see from Daniel the mention of and correlation to, we see the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. The lust of the flesh being what you put in your body and what you do with your body. The lust of the eyes being what you put in your mind. And the pride of life. Do you see these three? These things are all things that can lead you to bondage in various areas of life. So number one, they're thieves. Number two is they're vicious. They're vicious. You need to know that demons are vicious. Let me tell you, Satan never has a good day. He never has a merciful moment. Not one. Look back to Habakkuk 1, verses 7 to 9. It says, they are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses also are swifter than leopards and more fierce than evening wolves. Their chargers charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. They all come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. Okay, I wish I could do a whole message on that. Just talk about leopards and eagles and vultures that come in. But let me just show you one thing. It says that they are like wolves. They're like wolves. Okay, a few other scriptures that describe the enemy as wolves. Ezekiel 22, verse 27, it says, her princes in her midst are like wolves, tearing the prey to shed blood, to destroy people, and to get dishonest gain. Again, this refers to the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. Zephaniah 3, verse 3 says, her princes in her midst are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves that leave not a bone till morning. Okay, let me tell you what that means. It means they tend to feed at night. Can I tell you something about when demons tend to attack? Many times, they will attack at night. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever woke up in the middle of the night and you find that your thoughts aren't quite right? They're going to the wrong way? Am I telling the truth? Has this ever happened? And hear me, the best thing you can do when you can't sleep at night is you read the Bible and you pray. It's the best thing you could do. Because otherwise, you might end up doing something or watching something that you shouldn't watch or do. That is what the enemy tries to do. They love to attack at night. Okay, here's a New Testament scripture on wolves. Acts 20, verse 29. Paul says, "For I know this, he says, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." Okay, Paul says, when I leave, wolves are going to come in. Okay, let me ask you a very simple question. Do you really think Paul is talking about literal wolves? Now, I think many of us, we like to see wolves on the Discovery Channel and maybe wolves, movies about wolves that become pets and help people, and that's great, but listen, wolves are vicious. And when they are watching you, and when you see them and you think, well, look at that wolf. He's just out there. He looks so innocent. Well, you need to know what he's actually doing. He's actually studying you to learn your movements so that he can attack you. I mean, do you understand that they watch and study people and look for the weak times and the isolated? And do you know that wolves attack the sheep on the fray? That's the one that the wolf goes after when there's a whole herd of sheep. They get the sheep that is off to himself. Okay, listen. Please, please hear me. This is a sheepfold right here. And you are a sheep. And there is a wolf that's trying to get you. Okay, if I were you, I would not be on the fray of the church. I would not be on the fringe. If I were you, if you were on the fringe, here's what I would do. I would say, excuse me. I'd want to get right in the middle of the sheepfold. You don't want to be on the end. Get right in the middle. I practiced that. It didn't look very good, though. That's why I don't dance. Okay. Now, these Chaldeans lived in marshes until they took over Babylon. They lived in marshes. And the thing that was so incredible about them is they would hide. And you need to know that they were expert archers. They would hide in the marshes. And when you were trying to trudge through the marsh and getting stuck and trying to look where you were stepping, that's when they would shoot you. Okay. It is the exact same way with the enemy. When you're trudging through life, day to day, trudging through life, not focusing on God, but what's on in front of you and the difficulties, that's when he's going to shoot. So number one, they're thieves. Number two, they're vicious. And here's number three, they're cunning. They're cunning. Okay, Chaldean, the term, is synonymous with astrologer, magician, and sorcerer. Let me show you a reference. Daniel 2, verse 2 says, "Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell his dream." That was their desire to be synonymous, okay? Think about this. A magician deceives you, right? Let me say it another way. He distracts you so that he can deceive you. A sorcerer deceives you by actual spirits, spirits that can tell your future. That's how he deceives. And then you have an astrologer tries to determine your future by natural events that you don't have any control over. Listen, instead of God determining your future, an astrologer will say that the stars can tell you your future. That's a bunch of baloney, or balagna in the Greek. Do not read your horoscope. Don't do anything like that. Hear me. Let me tell you who determines your future. If you are a believer, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus is the one who determines your future. Amen. So when you sum up these three things, here's what demons are trying to do. Very simply, they want to distract you, they want to deceive you, and they want to determine your future. Distract, deceive, and determine your future. One more scripture, 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." All right, be sober simply means to be in control. In other words, don't let something else be in control of you. Be sober. Think about it. A person who is drunk is not in control. Let me say it another way, okay? Isn't it amazing that the Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, but, listen, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So let me say it this way. Don't be out of control, but be under the control of the Holy Spirit. So be sober. The other thing it says is to be vigilant, and that simply means to be watchful. Hear me, friends. It does not mean to be afraid of Satan. You don't need to be afraid of Satan. Okay, do you remember Psalm 23? I think most of us love it. It talks about the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But here's something it says. His rod and his staff comfort me. Okay, you need to understand that the shepherd doesn't hit you with his rod. His rod is not to hit the sheep. Otherwise, we could not say that his rod comforts us, could we? So he does not hit the sheep with his rod. Let me put it bluntly what he does with the rod. The good shepherd uses his rod to beat the snot out of the wolf. That's what the Lord does. So here's the answer. You might say, well, Pastor Tom, you are saying beware of Chaldeans or demons. Pastor Tom, I know that they've been coming after me. They're coming after me right now. They're attacking me in this area of my life. I know it. Okay, here's the answer to what you need to do. You need to, and it's very, very simple. You need to run to the shepherd. You need to come to the shepherd. Amen? All right, during this last song, the altar is going to be open. And if you're really struggling with something right now, if you found yourself believing lies, listen closely. I want you to really hear this. Maybe that a relationship that you have with someone, if you start believing that it's damaged beyond repair, or maybe for you it's a health concern, Maybe it's a health concern and your mind has automatically gone to the worst case diagnosis and you are crippled in fear. Or maybe you're the one who's battling anxiety and depression and you feel absolutely hopeless. Or your finances, maybe they're a mess and you're believing that God won't provide. Then maybe you should come forward and give it to Jesus today. Worship team, you can come on forward. I'm going to wrap this up. Because the Lord also laid something pretty heavy on my heart this morning. I was up praying this morning and He put on my heart the fear man. He said, the fear man. Did you know that the fear man is a stronghold? Because the fear of man, if you fear man more than you fear God, which many people do, you will not obey God for fear of what others may think. Now, if you don't need to come forward today, then fine. Okay? I'm not pressuring people to come forward. That's not my intent. But I do know that many people don't come forward because they're worried about what others think. But if God is calling you to Him, and you don't come forward, then did you realize that's really sending a message to God about your willingness to obey Him with what He has for you in your life? Do you realize that? To be honest, the fear of man, I'm telling you, has kept many people from walking into their God-ordained destiny. I'm not trying to guilt you, I'm not. But I wanted you to understand that that's a stronghold that many, many people struggle with. So today you get to choose if the Lord is really laying something on your heart, are you going to be obedient? And then maybe... If you do that, maybe the first stronghold that you get to break today is the fear of man. Amen.